traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Of the Constitution, Trump says in that time interview that he would not seek to overturn or ignore the Constitution's prohibition on a third term. So the American people believe that. Do you believe that?
No, absolutely not. As I said, you can't believe anything that Donald Trump has to say. Donald Trump will do any and everything that he can possibly get away with. He does not at all support the Constitution of the United States of America. This is a man who we better be careful about. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Justice Department and I'm going to ask the president to tell us what they're going to do to protect this country against violence if he loses. I want to know about all of those right-wing organizations that he's connected with, who are training up in the hills somewhere and targeting, what communities they're going to attack.
All right, my friends, welcome to the show. My name is Wayne Dupree, and we are live. Good Lord, it is Tuesday, May 7, 2024, 12:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are your voice for what's happening right now. Let me introduce the godfather of conservative radio, Mr. Up There in the Hills, Mr. Hutch Bailey Jr.
hey, Maxine, just to let you in on something, most of us are already trained.
Right. And then not only do we have Hutch Bailey Jr. in the hills of Pennsylvania, we have the Imam of Minnesota up in the very top hills in Minnesota. What's up, Jason Robinson?
Hey, happy Taco Tuesday, everybody. Sorry if I'm a little winded. You know, we had to clear trees in the forest compound up in the woods today. We're working on our ballistas and our crossbows and stuff. So I don't know about you guys, but we're close to ready.
Yeah.
And here I am behind enemy lines in Baltimore, Maryland. Okay, so
happy Wayne needs a firearm.
I'm happy to have everybody with us today. We are the Wayne Dupree Show. We broadcast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For those watching us for the first time, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And if you're not going to be here for the rest of the week, happy Mother's Day to you, just in case you aren't able to finish it up for the rest of the week. Want to wish all you beautiful, beautiful women, a happy Mother's Day. Whether you're a mom or not, if you're not a mom, if you have a mom, happy Mother's Day for you too. I was looking at I think Grace Chung, she shares a whole lot of Steve Bannon stuff, And I think she was claiming that people were angry at the videos that were being shown before the show starts, they call them cold videos or something like
cold
that.
Cold starts. He basically plays about 3 or 4 minutes of the enemy.
Yep.
And honestly, we've been doing that for years. Before Bannon even had his podcast, we were doing it. And the reason why is because we want you to see, because I know some of you like, who cares? Okay, fine. You don't have to care. But there are other people out there that need to know and need to understand how to fight these stupid narratives and agenda. If you are still fighting against the Democratic agenda of 1980 and 1981, you're slow. I mean, you're so far behind the game. I don't even know if you're in the game anymore. It's changed.
Different team.
Different team, different coach. They have changed. When I say they've changed uniforms, it's the same team. I'm not saying that they change different sides of politics. They just change uniforms. They're updated. The Democrats are updated. You know,
and it's important to understand that the average Democrat lives in an alternate reality than we do, and they are fully immersed in this propaganda. There's a lot of people that see Maxine Waters go, oh, she's crazy, but you don't see her called out like they would call out Marjorie Taylor Greene or any of that stuff on the right. And some people believe her. Some people believe there's MAGA camps up in the hills waiting to load in their SUVs and go rolling into DC to take things over. That's a reality these people live in. They're just, it's mental illness is what it is.
You got to look at it for what it really is. And this is something that they've hidden for a long time. If you look at, because we just saw a metamorphosis. We just saw a metamorphosis from socialism to communism. And then this year, now we're moving into Nazism.
Yep.
And if you look at what the Nazi Party, its title, it's the Nationalist Socialists. They're the Democrats. The Democrats are more Nazi than they admit. And you can see it. There's people in Congress right now that graduated from Columbia that will not talk bad against these freaking jihadists that are there.
Right.
They won't do it. They're transforming. And you look at the governor of New York yesterday, she said that black children in New York don't understand what the word computer is. It's like that. She actually believes that.
Yeah. Right. Look, a long time ago, I've read it. I've seen the quotes. I've seen people even talk about it. What's in your heart is going to come out. And that's why your parents always tell you, think before you say something. Your parents should have told you, think before you say whatever you're going. And this doesn't have anything to do with free speech. It has everything to do with, people, let's call it meeting you for the first time and
first impressions.
Exactly. Now, if you don't care and you want to say some crazy stuff like that, then fine. But this was in
Rochester, RPI, and our state schools all have bought into this. So now what we have is the money to build a phenomenal supercomputer that is going to be accessible to researchers in New York, college students, will attract more federal grants. And this is how we lay down the mark. No state has done this. And in fact, I talked to a lot of other people, said, I wish my governor had thought of that first. Said, no, this is New York. We like to be first, with all due respect to people from other states. It's sort of our attitude. You know, we will be the best. We will be the first. And I want others to follow, because right now we have, young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges. I've created this.
Can you, imagine if a Republican said black kids don't know what a computer is?
Well, Charlie Kirk. But listen, when it comes to, well, no, I didn't say Charlie Kirk said that, but he probably would say that. But in the way of this woman, this governor, for her to say this, she probably would have went to sleep. She probably would have went home, put her feet up on her $1,000 sofa and start eating bonbons, watching Netflix. If somebody wouldn't have got in her ear, governor, we got the NAACP of New York calling us about what you just said and stuff like that. You might want to apologize, because she has apologized for saying this. But again, like I said, if it's in your heart, it's going to come out, you know,
she don't live in the Bronx.
Right.
There ain't a black person within 20 miles of wherever she lives.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Well, unless.
I know I'm right.
Unless.
Well, there's some Hispanics, but they're doing the yard.
Wait a minute, though. Unless they're working for, you know.
Right. Yeah. She might have a housekeeper.
Can you bring me a soda, boy?
Right.
Oh my God! Yeah, well, she's part of the family.
Yeah,
she's part of the family. No, but
where's my bracelet? Where's my bracelet?
All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Oh my God!
Oh, yeah, wait a minute, Tilly was here earlier. Where's my ring?
They are the game has changed. From the 1980s. And now, I agree partially about you talking about how the Democrats are getting away with stuff, but there's a representative or a senator or a representative that just got in trouble.
Cuellar,
yeah.
Representative out of Texas. Disagreed you know with what? Biden, and the FBI raided his house.
And I tell you why. Well, I'll give my what, Jay? What's it called? My
impressions, opinion.
Yeah, but yeah, I give my. It's because he's so out there on the illegal immigration.
Yep,
they got to shut him up.
That's it.
I mean, expect the same thing to happen to Fetterman sooner or later. They're gonna shut him up too.
It already happened to Adams too.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? Because the election is around the corner. They got to get the way the Democrats roll. They got to get people on this train.
Understand that it's not the Democrat politicians.
No.
This is the intelligence community. Mm-hmm.
They got shot
them up. It's all of them.
They're running the show. They're running everything.
Department of Justice, the way the media covers it. I mean, you step out of line as a Democrat, you're getting...
Again,
and guess what? Your race isn't going to save you.
Yep. No. Because, I mean, again, that train is moving in one direction for the Democrat Party. We always joke about, and sometimes we get pissed about it because we claim that, see, they're all lockstep. They're not all in lockstep. They're not, because then you wouldn't have Cuellar and you wouldn't have Fetterman. It's, the only problem is that they put Fetterman and Cuellar in the back of the train. Excuse me. They put them in the back of the train in the locked room. But they're along the train. I mean, you know, they're inside the train. They're not leaving them like what our side, well, you know, I'm talking about sides again. What the Republicans do for the Republic, because Republicans leave people on the side. They do. Your boy, the one that got kicked out of the Congress.
That's Santos.
Santos.
Kicked him right off.
He's the only one that didn't do anything.
Right.
Okay.
Not even. Look, yeah,
this thing, he wasn't in long enough is the only reason. He would have done something.
Right.
The thing, the way this is set up, the dynamic of this government, and this is critical to understand this. Every single, bar none, member of Congress, the House and the Senate, bar none, every one of them is taking money beside their salary. And that's designed So the intelligence, so the FBI can raid any one of them at any time for any reason. Every one of them's taking money. It's a rule. And it looks like it's, you could do a whole career and nothing happened to you. But you get out of line like Cuellar did, and they always have it. It's their card that they keep. Every single representative is tainted by that.
Well, and even Fetterman, he gets to talk out a little bit because he still votes the right way. You know, I think they're cutting him a little bit of slack.
Yeah, they're going to get him.
Stuff. Oh, they are going to get him. I keep
they're going to get him. They're going to get him before the election. You're going to be like, has he regressed? Yeah. Has he gone backwards? Because, you know, you're going to be standing in front of the camera and Super Fetterman is going to be Yellow Bus Fetterman about it.
And just think of every James Bond movie you ever saw and the government's times 100 of that.
Yep.
They got something to put in his drink. They got anything they want. Guaranteed, man. They'll make him a slobbery.
You wonder when they switched the clones with Fetterman and Fetterman clone 2.0. Like, this guy's a lot different than Fetterman 1.0. So you wonder if they're like, oh, crap, we gave him the wrong pill.
Yeah, because, you know, believe me, I mark it down. They are listening to every call that he is doing right now. They're listening to every call because they want to make sure that he is still somewhere in their aura, somewhere in their atmosphere. He's still, because once he decides to come out with a bipartisan bill with Marco Rubio or something like that, and it's about the immigration, they're going to shut him down, man. They're going
to shut him down. You know, the thing about it is I'm old enough to remember when every Republican used to sound like, or every Democrat used to sound like Fetterman.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Democrats used to be kind of like, they had horrible ideas, but they used to be feisty. They used to disagree with each other. They kind of
There
used to be a saying that said about Washington that said, politics ends at the water's edge.
Yep. I heard, you know what? And I heard Nancy Pelosi say that one time. I was like, wow, I never even thought about that.
And it's not true anymore. I mean, it was.
No more. Yeah.
These people, but, you know, Nazis.
They asked her that while Trump was overseas, and I guess she went overseas, and they were asking her questions and stuff about him, and she didn't want to talk about him at that time overseas. And she said, well, politics is, you know, when her hands, well, we have to remember politics is at a water's edge. You know, I was like, okay, well, that's, you know, she's kind of muted for this one, but okay. All right. Good.
Give it time.
Man, Maxine Waters thinks the people up in the hills, man. I mean, look, if they don't get their way, they'll make a way. Believe that. If they don't get their way, they'll make a way.
They're going to find three hillbillies up in the woods somewhere in Kentucky.
Oh, they're out there.
And then it's going to be thrown all over every news broadcast for 6 months. There were these three guys up there. There was a violent MAGA white supremacist, whatever, and they were going to overthrow the government. We're this close to losing democracy.
I'll tell you what, every one of those little small towns, all 1.5 million of them, one thing they all have is gun clubs.
Right.
All of them. Guns are sports.
And that's what's funny is half what they said was true. Like,
that Maxine Waters is talking about us. Hide the guns.
You are going to be load up the pickup. Well, three of us good old boys, we're going to be rolling into D.C.
Let me tell you something. If they load up the pickup, you better cancel Christmas.
That's bullshit. And there's people out there, they got 50 cal.
Yeah.
The significance of a 50 cal, look on any city street and there's nothing it won't go through.
Right.
Yeah, I can see it right now.
Cars.
We're seeing Mayberry anymore.
And it's funny because they ignore strong Islamic protests where they're chanting death to America on campuses, like just 20-30 minutes out of Washington, D.C.
Columbia's in D.C. Columbia's in Washington, D.C.
Right. Oh, is it in? I knew it was near.
It's in Maryland.
Well, I mean, D.C. is Maryland. Really, right. I mean, that's like.
But I mean, that's, you got people there burning American flags saying death to America, and you're going to go on TV, not even address those folks, and go like, oh, there's three hillbillies.
Cleveland, yeah, they're coming. They got a problem with these schools, man. It's good. I saw a thing, and I don't really know what it means, but the NYPD like issued a level 3 alert or something like that on these, because there was protesters breaking through barricades and things, breaking through police barricades. This is going to get hairy, man, pretty quick.
Let's talk about Trump and his jail thing really fast. If you haven't been watching the Wayne Dupree show for the last couple of months, about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. Let me start off before that. Many people have been saying they can't put Trump in jail. Don't put Trump in jail, man. The whole country going. And even us on the show, we're like, man, if they put him in jail, this country's going to go crazy. Or, well, you would expect. Honestly, I really don't know yet. I really don't. Because I really don't. Because, like, I'm looking at some of the attendance and stuff and everything. And I don't know. I don't know whether people just watching it from their homes and whatnot because they don't want to get in trouble or anything like that. But I said all that to say this. On this show, we have agreed with many of you saying they can't put him in jail. They ain't going to put him in jail. Then about a month and a half ago, I read something. No, actually, this was before he even put it on his timeline. I came on a Tuesday morning. I was like, yeah, I think he wants to go to jail. And y'all looked at me. I was like, no, I really think he wants to go to jail. Whether it's for a day or two, but can you imagine if he goes to jail? He's going to be writing letters from the Birmingham. He's going to be writing letters from jail like he was Martin Luther King. You know what I'm saying?
He said yesterday that the Constitution is so important. If it's between that and going to jail, I'll gladly go to jail.
Yeah. And now he said, well, after I said that on Tuesday, he came out on Thursday and said basically what he said last night. But he's like, I don't mind going to jail. Put me in jail. So that's why he's doing this. That's why he's overriding the gag thing, because he's daring them to put him in jail. He's daring them. And I don't know how much this judge is going to fine him before even putting him in jail. But it looks like that might be the end game. Who's the DOJ? What's his name?
Smith. Right. Smith is the prosecutor.
No. The Attorney General.
That one's Alvin Bragg's.
Merrick Garland.
Merrick Garland is calling Bragg and that merchant, don't put him in jail. Please don't put him in jail.
Democrats all over are saying that. CNN legal analysts said it would be a big political gift to put him in jail. That's number two headline on Liberty Daily.
Yep.
That's the only thing. Look, I was talking to my barber this morning. I was like, can you imagine if he goes to jail? You don't. Did it really? Can you imagine if he goes to jail? I was like, oh, man. You don't even have to have an election.
I think they're misreading it too. You got people coming out, Donnie Deutsch type people's coming out and said he'd get torn apart in jail. I don't believe that for a minute. He'd be a superstar in prison.
Oh my God, those gangbangers. From day one.
What and guess what? If anybody,
you know he'd come in with pizzas or something.
Right.
Hanging if out anybody did service. Try, it would be almost like what's that gangster movie where they all went to jail, but they were having a steak and Goodfellas, where they're making spaghetti and stuff in jail and stuff. But imagine if somebody did try to brush up on them. The Secret Service of the jail will protect them. Believe me, you know why? Because they know if they protect President Trump and he gets elected, they're going to get pardoned. So, it's that easy, to tell you the truth. But I was like, they must be getting phone calls after phone. Because anybody else that has had a gag order on him has shut up. You know why? Because they don't want to go to jail. They don't want to go to jail. And on top of that, they ain't got the FU money to pay those fines. I mean, I'm waiting for Merchant to say, you know what? $100,000. When it gets up to that point, people, he does not want to put Trump in jail. You know, I mean, those numbers start going up astronomically and stuff like that.
Well, here's what's crazy too. Trump's not doing anything out of line. I mean, the judge tells him he can't go after the witnesses or the other people, but they're all going after him. So in a fair society, you could not have Stormy Daniels going out saying what she's saying and Michael Cohen going out saying what he's saying and Trump not able to respond. Trump's 100% right on this. This judge's gag order is ridiculous.
You know what the last one he got fined for, the last gag order violation? Because he said they picked the jury so fast and it's 95% Democrat.
Right.
That's the gag order. That's $1,000 it cost the guy.
Yeah. He shared those two letters from Stormy Daniels where she said they didn't have an affair on social media. He posted those letters. That was one of the fines. Now, Stormy Daniels is up there giving all these salacious details about the alleged affair. And
I haven't seen
like that. Whether or not he even had an affair or not with her is immaterial. And Americans are going to see that. They're going to see these headlines coming out.
Who's doing
Stormy Daniels is testifying.
She just got called to testify.
Yeah, she's testifying today.
Yeah. The only thing that I've seen up to this point is her lawyer. And actually, I did her attorney. Actually, I did a story real quick on it last week. They're playing word semantics.
Oh, yeah.
Because they plan on getting up there and saying, well, sure, it wasn't a romantic affair. And that's basically what the letter says. It wasn't a romantic affair. Based on what Democrats do, they just take that romantic out. Yeah, it was an affair, but it wasn't a romantic affair. You know, what's is and stuff like that. But something that J. Rob said about the gag order. I'm not a legal scholar to say that it's unconstitutional or constitutional. All I know is that courts have been using it for decades. Courts have been using gag orders for decades, and it has shut many people up. Rarely do you see a billionaire in court defy, or usually you see anybody really defy a gag order like this. There have been some people that have defied it and got fined and then fined to shut up. Some people have got put in jail on contempt of court, whatever. But when it comes to Donald Trump, I go along with it. Look, if he wants to talk, he wants to talk. You know, but it's hard. It's hard for me to say. It's hard for Wayne to say that it's unconstitutional when I've seen other people get gag orders and nobody said nothing. Nobody said nothing about it.
Usually, when there's a gag order, there's like a reason for it, though.
Yeah.
You know, like protecting witnesses or, you know, protecting corporations or something like that. I think everybody can see this for what it is. That's why everybody's upset. The gag order is only the icing on the cake. Look at all the other stuff that they're doing illegally to this poor guy, man. I mean, the indictments is unbelievable.
All
in leftist shit cities.
There you go. Well, the constitutionality of the gag order is we have this predicate, innocent until proven guilty. You can confront your accusers in court. But as a standard, we try to protect those accused of crimes. That is a foundational constitutional principle. Hmm. And when you see a gag order, the gag order is shutting up anybody talking about the case that can taint the jury pool. Well, the people Trump's going after are doing the same thing in social media, but Trump's the only one getting gagged. I mean, if the judge were going to try to have a real fair trial, he would say, okay, everybody shut up.
And all the networks, all the media does it every single night.
Right.
I mean, they don't report anything else.
Right. I mean, this trial.
I still wonder about why judges, Trump's attorneys isn't asking for a gag order for the other side then. You know, I mean, that's, if I see that happen to my client, then I want the same thing for the other people. And I'm going to bring in examples. Everything that you just said, I'm going to bring it into court. And if they turn it down or if they dismiss it, appeal.
Here's the thing. You know, there's not a regular defendant or what's the other side? It's not two sides. It's Trump versus the freaking government.
Right.
You know, it's not like there's one person.
Prosecuting.
Huh?
Somebody's prosecuting it, right?
Somebody from the government.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, I would ask. There's not a person that's a defendant or that's a victim in this. It's like not two people going to trial. It's not like Roe versus Wade. It's government versus Trump. It's like,
they asked for some gag orders on some of the witnesses and it was denied.
That's true.
Okay, well, guess what? You have an appeal right there. You have an appeal. I mean, that's what we were talking about last week. Every one of these cases, right now, if you look at every one of these cases, no matter what the outcome is under appeal already.
And that's the whole idea, this whole thing. Getting a conviction is not the goal.
Right.
That's not what lawfare is. Lawfare is what they did to Santos. You notice when he got out, there was never a trial. You know, because there was never any. It's all BS. It's
he
like
wasn't
this.
Charged with a crime.
They just want to get past November. That's the only thing this is for. They're going to tie him up.
In the next 24 to 48 hours, you're going to see the goal of this. Every story, every social media post from a liberal is going to be about the salacious details of Trump's alleged affair with Stormy Daniels, which is immaterial to the case. Whether Trump did it or didn't do it has nothing to do with the accounting principles that they're going after him for. They're going to get what they want.
And they're going to try to drive a wedge between him and Melania.
Yep.
And that's what I said, because whatever this woman says in court today is going to be replayed by the media. Yep. They're probably going to try to keep Melania away from the television, but you can't, honestly, the way media is, if you don't see it on TV, you're going to see it on the phone. If you don't see it on the phone, you're going to hear it on the radio. You're going to hear it somehow. But the reason why they didn't have a trial if you're talking about the ethics portion of Santos in the House, if that's what y'all been talking about, I think that we've been talking about two different things, because I was talking about what happened in Rio de Janeiro, where right after he got kicked out of Congress and he was indicted actually for fraud and money. But he came up with a settlement of $24,000 for bounce checks and bouncing checks to buy clothes over a decade. So that's why I didn't have a trial for that. They didn't have a trial for that one. But I mean, I don't know if that's, He was released on $500,000 bail, but ordered to surrender his passport and limit travel. That was in Brazil. Okay. All right. Well, the lawyer said he wasn't aware of any other lawsuit in Brazil. That's what I was looking at. I wasn't looking at what the House was doing. I think the House was looking at that down there, possibly, or I don't know what the House was doing.
They were talking campaign finance problems, right?
Up in New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen any press on it. That was what I mean. I mean, it went away. I didn't even know what you just said. I never heard of that.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I had been seeing. The House Ethics Committee is slow on a whole lot of stuff. I mean, like right now, they are
still there.
drip stuff out about J. Rob's camera. They are dripping stuff about. Is my finger again? Mm-mm. Okay. What's his name?
Santos?
Gates.
Gates.
They
would have brought it.
The Ethics Committee dripped the stuff about Santos, right? And now the Ethics Committee is dripping stuff about Gates at the same time. And that's who people should really be mad at, because wonder, okay, what is up with the Ethics Committee? Because the Ethics Committee doesn't seem to be
ethical
at all.
I mean, it's been a running joke ever since I've been on this show. Every 2 years, Maxine Waters gives her daughter $200,000. It never fails. And they catch her and nothing happens to her.
Right. But that's your two-tier or three-tier Congress. You have your untouchables.
Right.
And then you have your.
I was going to say, we're relying on Congress to police Congress. It's kind of like the argument about when are they going to vote term limits, or when are they going to ban stock trading?
Maxine Waters is the ranking member of the Financial Services Committee.
Right.
Yep. She can't even spell Apple.
Right.
And she's in charge of our money. How nice does that make you feel?
I know.
What? And it's a big old party up there in D.C., folks, and we ain't invited. And they act like they're going after each other when really all they're doing is anybody that steps out of line, they're like, hey, what are you doing? You know, let's leak some stuff on you. Let's try to. I mean, imagine how squeaky clean somebody like Gates really is. If they haven't taken him out yet, like that dude's got to be pretty clean, you know.
And they try to get his dad.
Right.
They can make something up, though. I mean, we'll figure it out. We'll see.
Or maybe because his ex-girlfriend came and testified. I mean, she ran to testify. Yeah, that's right. I know what happened. Yeah. He was at that party. I said, oh, man. Everybody ain't lying. You know, we're conservatives. Logic, common sense. Everybody don't lie. And not everybody. I mean, sometimes some people do. I mean, Cawthorn, you know, they got him out of there.
I don't buy it. No, he wasn't.
I know. A whole lot of people don't buy it, but everybody don't lie. I mean, if everybody is lying,
what did he do? When he was a teenager, he went out with somebody that was 17, not 18? I did that.
Who?
Gates.
Now, this doesn't have anything to do when he was 18. He was older.
Well, that's not what I heard. I heard something different.
Yeah.
So here's the funny thing about this, and this is where conservatives always fall in the traps. Of the 200 and some members in the House and Senate, how many of them have committed debauchery that would be embarrassing and they should be removed from public life?
All of them.
Many. Two-thirds, three-quarters.
That's the kind of people that get drawn to politics.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they throw out somebody like Gates, and then everybody obsesses over this Gates case because conservatives need to take the high road. If Matt Gates really did
I'm so sick of hearing
rid of him. And then we just go shoot ourselves in the foot like we did with Santos.
And we do it over and over and over and
Santos,
over and over.
100% a crook. Don't agree with him.
But he was a vote. He was a vote.
Right. Yeah. He voted right, and as far as I'm concerned, he was no more crooked than two-thirds of the other people there. He got on the bad side of the ledger, and they went after him. And even shows like ours, when we were critical of him, it's, you know, in hindsight, it's Republicans shooting themselves in the foot. There's plenty of corrupt people.
You know why they got rid of him? Because he's gay, and he had gaydar, and he could tell all the other people that were gay, and he was bringing them out.
There's a whole lot of gay people in Congress.
I know it, but they don't want you to know it.
Oh, he did everything wrong.
But we do know. I mean, Lindsey Graham has been in there for a long time. I mean, and who's it? Cotton wears a dress in Arkansas. So, I mean, you know, we cross-dressers. So, I mean, we know some things about some of these people.
But think of them. They think we don't know.
Barney Frank was gay for a long time. Remember that sweat?
He was horrible.
Yeah, but I mean, here's George Santos. He did everything wrong.
He had a hoe house in his NFSC house. Function.
He spoke out against China. He went on social media telling stories like Madison Cawthorn did. He broke,
first
rule about Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, he didn't start talking about China until the end, though, when he was getting ready to get rolled out. But, I mean, the thing is, that's why we say here on the show, just shut the whole goddamn thing down. Just shut it down. It's evil. It's nasty. It's not doing anything for the American people. It's not doing anything for our borders. It's not doing anything for our foreign policy. I mean, the people are laughing at us, more than laughing at us. They're infiltrating the goddamn country. You know, I mean, you know, they're setting up terror cells.
Yes, he is.
There you go. Oh, no. That one, yeah.
Hello, Obama.
Yeah.
I mean, Big Mike.
Yeah, he is.
Remember that preacher?
Yep.
I forget his name. He's from New York.
Mm-hmm.
He had all kind of people interviewing. Mac Daddy.
They gave him everything. They gave him the White House. They gave him this. They gave him that. They gave him this.
When I was in prison.
And the Negro failed. So,
I wonder if he's still around.
Yeah, he's still around, but guess what? They shut him up too.
Yeah.
Because you remember he's this black pastor from Harlem. Jay. Come on, y'all, in the chat. Black pastor from Harlem.
What was his
used name? Used to talk about Barack Obama's mama.
The Atla Church, Atla or something.
Yeah, Atla Church. And he was on Barack Obama like
hard,
like white on rice. Good Lord.
He's the one that had that song.
Did he?
That I used to sing. Remember I used to sing? I can't remember it. It was in the back of a limo.
Oh, yeah. But just shut the whole goddamn thing down. And I mean, it's like every day when we wake up, I'm hoping and praying that the ambulances are rolling up to Congress. No, okay, whatever. But either way, somebody tried to do something with the White House over the weekend. We didn't say anything.
Why does everybody crash into the White House and die?
Well, you know those,
like nothing's reported.
See, you notice it?
Barriers. That's why
you just drive into them. It's like
let's keep trying. Let's try. I don't know why they keep trying.
Let's try this. You know,
I don't know why they keep trying. It's like, dude, there's steel poles underneath that cement. You go, Manning, Pastor.
Yeah,
Manning.
Yeah, Manning,
Pastor Manning.
That's it. Yep.
It's like full speed, huh? Okay. How about the one where the woman that tried to ram the White House, they killed her when Barack Obama was in there.
Yeah, shot her.
Shot her, man. And there was a kid in the back seat at the time.
I'll tell you something to look into. I read this last night.
What's that?
There's a movement. That's they had 1,000 meetings, but it's finally coming to fruition on the constitutional thing of the states. They're trying to
convention.
Yeah, they're trying to pass one thing and one thing only, a budget law that, and I don't know the details, but the basic thing of it is that they have to pass a budget on time every year, and it can have no laws in it. It has to be strictly budgetary. And if they don't pass a budget on time, it immediately goes to a continuing resolution. If that happens two times in a row, every member of Congress is dismissed and not allowed to run for office again.
Nice.
And all they need is three quarters of the states. And if you look at even Democrat states are being throttled by the federal government. Good. The federal government doesn't even pay attention to governors and legislatures. And they're the ones with the constitutional power to do something about this. And it looks like by January, I can't remember if it's January or June of 2025 is supposed to be this meeting where they vote. And they always derailed it. Every other time they tried to do this, they derailed it because somebody would put something in there about abortion or about gun control or about something like that that we're not agreed on in the country. But the budget, every state has to balance their budget. And the federal government doesn't. And they keep raising taxes and increasing regulations on these states by these unelected people in these agencies. I think it could work. But watch for the Uniparty. Watch for the Republicans and the Democrats to come out against this. They're going to do everything in their power to stop this. But I'm really looking forward to it. The author used to be in the Montana state legislature, and he was giving apples and oranges, telling you how many states were getting ready to go. It looks good. 28th Amendment.
Mark Levin talks about that. The constitutional
convention of the states.
Convention of the states.
Yeah, convention of the states.
There's actually like three or four different movements. I mean, you've got a couple states that are looking to secede from the union. California, when Trump was in office, Texas is kind of working on it. And then you've got the popular vote thing. They're up to 17 states that have agreed to the popular vote thing. But if that happens, that could trigger states to say, whoa, 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 all these unrepresented states. And it could have a positive outcome on things like the thing Hutch was talking about.
This is the first thing I've ever seen that's viable. None of the rest of that stuff's viable. They're not going to secede from the union. They'll start a war.
I'm just saying, I think the popular vote movement is going to get enough states.
Well, if we're dumbed down that far, then we deserve it.
I'm just saying, you're gonna get it where people are going to think it's a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
And then all these little states that are like, whoa, 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 we don't want New York, California.
That might be a grounds for a civil war.
Right.
Because who wants to be run by Chicago and New York and San Francisco? Because that's what it would be. That's what it would be. Mayor Adams would be the president.
Yep.
Really?
I mean, he could be. They're the ones with the votes. It's the cities, the coastal cities.
It would dramatically change the way elections work.
Yeah.
Insofar as, you know, it would do you no good to go to Iowa. There's just not enough people.
And you don't just get to vote for that. You have to amend the Constitution for that.
Well,
the Electoral College is in the Constitution.
So what they're doing to get around it is states are passing legislation, and they haven't passed it yet. They're going to agree.
Oh, they're giving their delegates to the...
And they'll give their delegates to whoever won the popular vote. So it's a pretty crafty thing. But like
it's messed up because it's not the popular vote in their state. It's the whole country, right?
Right. Yeah, so let's say theoretically Joe Biden had 81 million votes and one of these states Donald Trump won, they would give the Electoral College votes to Joe Biden. That's what they're trying to pass.
Total idiots.
Well, another thing that, and we had him on before and we're trying to get him on again. We had a representative talk about the them getting rid of the Electoral College and bringing in the stacked election.
Ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice. Yeah. That's picking up steam across the country, to tell you the truth.
Yep.
I was picking up on that last week, and it is growing like a disease. Hopefully it doesn't get to the point where they agree with what I said about how times have changed, and because that's actually what they're.
This is a product of the teachers' unions and the Board of Education,
right?
Department of Education.
Well, and they just want to change everything when they're in power. All they need is 51%. Let's rewrite all the rules. Let's expand the Supreme Court.
Nuclear option.
Yeah, right. And, you know, the federal government was designed not to do very much and to require large consensus before they did the few things that they did. And, you know, now you've got Democrats that are like, at 51%, we can do anything we want. And it's like... And they can do things the federal government was never designed to do.
And you've got a corrupt court system that doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean, the court systems have got, I mean, look.
Thanks, Lindsey Graham. Appreciate that.
The court systems were already corrupt years ago. They've just gone off the rails now. They really don't give a good goddamn.
They don't care who sees it anymore.
Right.
I mean, and it's not even.
You're going to gag. You're going to gag a former president of the United States?
Well, in that case, you're going to gag anybody. In that case, you're gagging anybody.
It's like there's no respect.
In that way, you know.
Well, they're not even trying to hide their corruption. That's how confident they are. You know, you see some of this stuff. Like I mentioned yesterday, all this information coming about the Florida documents case. Turns out Jack Smith admits in trial that, we kind of doctored those photos that went viral on the news and social media. And we showed up after they sent all the boxes to, I mean
they brought those labels that we saw in those pictures. The FBI brought those with them.
Right. Right. They knew it was there because they had the documents a few weeks before. This should be front page news plastered on everything. And like, holy cow. I mean, that should be enough to throw the case out right there. Like, and frankly, lock up Jack Smith.
Well, the only reason why I have turned my head away from what's happening in Florida is because that's going to happen sooner or later. Cannon's going to do her thing. So, I mean, that's why, she's already been slowing things down to a crawl anyway, and has already been pissing off Jack Smith, but I don't even see that as a righteous type of case right now. I just see it as something that's just passing time.
I'll tell you, ought to be locked up. Merrick Garland ought to be locked up.
Well,
he's the boss, man. He's the boss of all this.
I'm equating this documents case. If you remember when we heard Milley say he was going to talk to China behind Trump's back, and all of us are like, he needs to be like thrown in jail. Like
stripped
tomorrow.
Down to private E1 first.
Yeah. And that's why this Justice Department information coming out in the Florida case. I mean, there's a bunch of these guys that should be thrown in jail. I mean, this is a very visceral reaction because we can speculate all these are whatever purpose, but they're actually caught doing it. They're caught saying it's lawfare. We staged it. It's all hooey. And
well, like you said, they don't care no more. They just do it.
Right. That's what's scary.
In front of our face.
And I don't think it's because they're confident. I think it's because of Governor Hochul. The way she said that about black kids in the Bronx. I think a lot of these people that work in the federal government, especially the ones that work in big capitals and in D.C., especially the D.C. people, they're in another world. They're not in our world, man. They think they're way up here. They have no idea how intelligent the American people are. They think we're all Walmart greeters.
And people outside of politics think just like that. They say the same thing. And that's why they really don't want to get their hands dirty. To them, politics is more dirtier than the decline of the morality in the culture. You see what I'm saying? It's like the way politics looks at for the people that live in politics, and you look at the culture, you're like, man, I can't believe it. Culture is declining so much like this. They don't care about anything. They're nasty and they don't care about the country. And the people in the culture are looking at politics. Man, they're so nasty and they don't care about the country and they're passing on the law. They don't care about us. But y'all were talking about the constitutional convention of states. And Herb McCain has something to say about that.
The skeptics will say, but you know, it's not that easy to fire federal workers. I'm going to give them a choice. Early retirement or reassignment? They said, well, where are you going to reassign me? I understand that there's an empty building in Nome, Alaska.
Well, how's that for a fright? Happy Halloween to you.
All these non-American journalists, man, get off my TV.
Yeah,
I miss that guy.
Yeah, he quoted the Declaration of Independence. Oh. Okay, look, I got to finish.
The skeptics will say, but you know, it's not that easy to fire federal workers. I'm going to give them a choice. Early retirement or reassignment? They said, well, where are you going to reassign me? I understand that there's an empty building in Nome, Alaska.
Well, how's that for a fright? Happy Halloween to you, Mr. Kane. And if that didn't get the Tea Party crowds fired up at breakfast, by lunchtime there was talk of abolishing the federal government altogether with a little help from the Declaration of Independence.
And it says, when any form of government becomes destructive of those ideals, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish. We've got some altering and abolishing to do.
I miss him.
And the Egyptian guys, they're laughing at our Constitution on CNN.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. I can't stand these people.
Yeah. All these people that are benefiting from our form of government and capitalism and our freedom of speech and that's they come over here and they take advantage of all this stuff. And why aren't they going to these Marxist countries? Because it sucks. Capitalist Marxist countries suck. And that's why people aren't migrating there. But they want to come where places are good, and let's change it with these new political ideals. This will be great, even though it's never worked. That's why there's no country out there that this stuff is working in. But let's change
it. It doesn't work in this country.
Right.
It's like, it's basically what the United States has is invisible signs that the American people can't see, but visible signs for the whole world to see that this is a gun-free zone. Basically, and what I mean by that is, you can come over here, you can do anything that you want to. You can spit on the American flag, you can do, because nobody's going to do anything, because you can do it under that loophole of free speech. And you can get lawyers and stuff to protect you from creating hate groups and stuff and going on college campuses. And because a long time ago, there used to be a law that you couldn't cross, that you couldn't go across state lines and create riots and violent protests, or you would get arrested federally.
You know, that's another thing that was in that 28th Amendment. The only people that can give to politicians are people that live in that state.
There you go.
Get rid of all the billionaires' influence. Go buy an island. You ain't buying a politician this year.
Go buy an island. You know, it's like,
I took that from an article. I don't want to plagiarize anybody.
No, I remember the amendment to where you couldn't cross party lines. You couldn't cross state lines to do that. And that
they made an entire federal agency for that, the FBI.
Right.
Well,
that was their original purview.
Was what happened in Cambridge, Maryland, though? My hometown scared the bejesus out of D.C. because of the racial stuff that was happening in that city, and it was only about an hour or so away from Washington D.C. Even Spiro T. Agnew, before he was vice president, he came to Cambridge, as a matter of fact.
He was a governor. Help.
Yeah, he came to, like, all right, settle it down. Let's do it this way. And he later became vice president under Nixon. But that didn't last long. But, I mean, you know, well, they put that thing in.
How are you going to get political leaders that you elect to the government when your vision is to shut down and curtail the government?
They took Spiro Agnew out too.
Right.
So they could put Gerald Ford in there.
Yep.
To replace Nixon. It's all part of the same thing.
Yep. Sure did.
How bad was that Spiro Agnew thing, Hutch? Like, I haven't dove into that. You probably know more about it.
I was very young at the time. When Richard Nixon was president, I lived in a highly Democrat family who did not like Richard Nixon.
Right.
And so that bled off on me. I didn't know anything about it. Yeah.
Looking into the Spiro Agnew stuff, it looked like one of the earliest hit jobs. Like, they just targeted him and went after
him.
Wasn't
it just income tax evasion or something?
Yeah, it was like tax stuff.
Yeah.
For a fight.
It was right before. It was a setup, man. The whole thing, just remember, they just killed the president right before that.
I mean, if you put it together, looking back, it's ironic. It's like, let's kill Kennedy. Nixon wins by the most votes ever. I mean, people forget that.
After the 1968 convention.
Yep. Yeah. And then Agnew was hugely popular.
Yep.
They had all this shrink the government. Like, that was really popular back then. All of a sudden, Agnew gets taken out because of some tax stuff that didn't even look that legit.
And who put in? They put it. This is the part that's important about Kennedy being killed. They put in Gerald Ford because he was a critical member of the Warren Commission.
Right.
He was a freaking good to go guy for them.
Right. Then right after Ford gets in, all right, now Nixon's got to go.
And look. And Nixon was, no, and Ford was approved by Congress.
Right.
Yep.
And approved by the CIA.
He wasn't voted in. He was approved and sworn in. And just like you said, then they got rid of Nixon. And then then Ford became president. But Ford was a bumbler. He couldn't even walk.
Yeah, but he was a very good college football player.
Yeah, he was Dick Van Dyke.
He's still alive.
Who?
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, I saw him on the. I was like, wait,
he looks way better than Biden too.
Yeah, he's like 96, 97 years old.
He Dick like made Van sense. Dyke. Yeah.
It's crazy how many
I watched him in black and white, man.
I remember him. I remember him.
Mary Tyler Moore
kept falling over the ottoman. And
that's what he said in this clip. You might remember me. I fell down a lot.
Said that clip too?
On purpose. Yeah.
Let me ask you.
I don't know what the heck he was trying to say, though.
I know. That's where I'm going with that. I was like, wait a minute. Is this for Trump or against Trump?
I couldn't tell. he said... He said, it looks like it's pretty clear Trump's path to the White House.
I know. I was like.
And the Supreme Court's corrupt. And then the story just stopped.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they went to the colleges with all these uprisings or something like that. I'm like, what are you trying to say,
man? I know. He was like, right, wrong, right.
He's the old man.
No, he was perfectly coherent.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, the story he was telling just didn't make sense.
Not really. I mean, that was like a super conspiracy theory.
Right.
Man, that was like a Clint Eastwood at the RNC thing. But I was like, hey, is this an old video? Is that really? Okay, fine. And once my mind, that's Dick Van Dyke. As I listened to him, I was like, And then when I got finished, I was like, I got to go eat. I don't know what I just watched. And I wasn't going to watch it again because then I probably would have came on the show drooling this stuff like in old Fetterman stage. And, you know, I probably wouldn't have anything to say.
Here's what's tough, though. Like, he was going down some really weird rabbit holes and he seemed a little confused, too, with what he was doing. But, like, just that timeline we covered about JFK to Richard Nixon. When you look back, you know, at 3,000 feet and just see the timeline, it's like, holy crap. I mean, and especially knowing you can't trust the government, every conspiracy is on the table. But you know, you went from JFK, who says we're going to tear down the intelligence community,
stop the Vietnam War.
Stop the Vietnam War. How many years later do we end up with Gerald Ford? Let's blow up another country. I mean, it's just, you watch it unfold, you know, and it's like, wow.
With you saying that, I have to go all the way back to MacArthur and those men that were back then. If we had those men in today's society, we would not be in the place of where we are right now.
Right.
And the reason why I say MacArthur and those men back then is because they were men back then that thought country first. Now, I understand CIA and the FBI were created around that time, but they weren't political. Well, I don't think that they really got to where they are until after those men passed on the way that they are, because the government started putting their hands in certain things after they left, or after they got old and decrepit and died or whatnot. Then things really started changing. And I still think Eisenhower going out, he's like, I'm warning y'all about the institution. I mean,
we should play that clip on. Like,
I'm
perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this country, when they figured out what they can do to the American people, power, I mean, the power just grew and they got more corrupt. And then they decided they could do anything, especially when they started going outside the country and start seeing more foreign money and stuff like that. Oh, we can make more money this way. Oh,
it's horrible, man. It's terrible.
You know,
and look at what just happened. Look what just happened to us. They want me to believe that Joe Biden got 82 million votes.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can't even control his bowels.
You did that again. But look,
I mean,
here's the thing. They got away with it, though. That's the thing, though. They got away that in 2020 on the backs of trucks. On the backs of trucks for his inauguration speech and everything. They still kept people on the inside of the house with it in there. You know? It's like,
oh, well, and it's interesting too. Did you guys see the tweet Liz Harrington put out today about the Georgia State Election Board meeting? Liz Harrington, friend of the show, I would encourage you to go check out her tweet. They're talking about votes in Georgia, and of course, we can't go into a lot of details on here because we're on some platforms that would frown upon that. But she's tracking. It appears that, if you look at the agenda, she links to the meeting, and there is, remember when they said Trump's like, man, all you got to do is find 11,000 bad ballots, and they tried to make it sound like they wanted him to fabricate it. Evidently, there is information that there's 21,000 extremely suspect ballots, and this is from the Georgia election.
Isn't it interesting how they do that 3 years into the Biden administration?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like when Barack Obama got elected the first time, and when he was putting his cabinet together 3 years after that, then they found out that the cabinet owes close to $400,000 to $500,000 in unpaid taxes. The whole cabinet together, if you added up everybody, owed close to $500,000 to $600,000 in unpaid taxes. This is Dwight Eisenhower.
A vital element in keeping the peace is our military establishment. Our arms must be mighty, ready for instant action, so that no potential aggressor may be tempted to risk his own destruction. Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime. Or in
this was 19 This was
maybe.
Yeah, 1960. And just think about that. We're in 2024. He already saw it in 1960.
He oversaw it.
Yeah.
He was the general of the armies.
And he knew what was coming.
Indeed, by the fighting men of World War II or Korea. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
He said the alert, and then that's when they start putting Americans to sleep. That's probably when the CIA start coming in there and putting stuff in between the TV and you know, channels and the movies and different things like that. You know what I'm saying?
You know, my dad was really big into politics. Mm-hmm. I mean, he worked for him for a while. And one of the things he did, he used to collect political pins. You don't see them anymore.
A lot of people used to collect those pins. Yeah.
And I remember he had one that said, "I like Ike."
Yeah.
Well, think of that like 20-year run too, where you go from Eisenhower, and then I think it was LBJ,
Kennedy.
And then it was Nick, yeah. Or then it was JFK, Nixon, and I mean, you had one get impeached, you had one get killed, and just saying, I'm sure it's pure coincidence. Right after you get the president of the United States saying this is bad,
right after he left the stage, the '60s I think was the worst decade for this country within the walls of the nation. So many presidents were getting shot. Presidents' brothers were getting shot. Civil rights leaders were getting murdered. Kent State kids were getting picked off at a university. The police, the Chicago incident for the convention in the early 60s.
Days of rage.
Lyndon B. Johnson with the Vietnam thing. You know, I mean, the 60s, man. Craig.
It's the beginning of the end.
Just made a whole lot of sheep out of the American people. It did. I mean, it
destroyed our cities.
Imagine, you know, what has happened to Donald Trump right now. You remember when Donald Trump came out in 2016 and said, I'm your voice, I'm here. Give me permission to use your voice as we ride this train to win the next election. So, okay, fine. We got it. Now, we all agree that the establishment is trying to destroy another run, or even when he gets in, they're really going to go after him again. So imagine that, but look back at the 60s where, I mean, because Donald Trump easily says, they're not trying to do this to me. They're trying to do it to you. That's what happened in the 60s. All those killings and stuff was meant to silence the American people, to put the American people in a box. Don't say nothing. Trust in the government. Be dependent on the government. We're going to take care of you type of stuff. Don't worry about everything.
In the 60s, roles were reversed from where we were today. And I'm not talking about political ideology or anything, but the left movement in the 60s was really the government's corrupt and this is bad. Everybody kind of agreed on that. And the conservatives back then, you know, I wasn't alive, but from looking back on it, are like, oh, no. The government keeps us safe. It's great. We won the war, blah, blah, blah. And we were being played when it's really the elites against the American people. And now, however many years later, we've reversed roles where the left is, oh, no, government's great. Why would you have a problem with the government? Like, oh, government wouldn't lie to us. They tell us the truth. They keep us safe. And the conservatives are the one like, holy cow, this government's way corrupt. Who knew? And it's, but they always, you know, I say it a lot on the show, but they try to get you fighting right versus left. It is the political elites and the rest of us. It is not Democrats, Republicans. And I mean, you know, Mitch McConnell is just as corrupt as Chuck Schumer.
Check this out.
Oh, yeah, true story.
I believe that.
We're not out of the woods yet.
Well, I believe.
I'm still giving it a 30% chance, guys.
Not me. I mean, I've always been against that because I just think that you talk about a powder keg with that one. You really talking about a powder keg with that one. Jail is another thing, you know, but. No way.
Told you, I'm up to a 40% chance there is no.
Are you 40% now? Huh?
Yeah, I went from 30 to 40. Because here's the thing. They're throwing everything they can at him and they can't stop him. So they're either going to stop him or they're going to do something.
They're going to go after us.
Right.
If they can't stop him.
I keep thinking of Edward Snowden.
You know what he said?
Yeah, you sent it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said something's coming in the next couple of weeks.
That was a half a week ago.
And I believe Edward Snowden. I really believe him. TikTok has sued to block the law that would force the application to be divested from his Chinese-based parent company, ByteDance, or be banned from the United States. The reason why I think that is a little bit is because the TikTok CEOs came out last week and said, we ain't going nowhere. I was like, wait a minute, for him to say that, he's got to know something. So now they're suing the U.S. government because the U.S. government is trying to force them to divest. This is going to, which means that they aren't going anywhere. He's right. They're not going anywhere. I'll tell you another reason why they got, because China, CCP got money. And they will run this thing as long as they need to for years if they really need to. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, I personally think this TikTok bill should be voted down. And I hope it's reversed. I don't want TikTok. We've covered how bad TikTok is and all that.
Yeah, Carla, now.
Well, yeah, but, and I'm not even on TikTok. Like, I mean, I don't go on there. Yeah, I know you do some stuff on there.
Let me tell you something. I get more reach on TikTok than I do on Twitter. And I ain't lying. I am so surprised because it didn't used to be like that. And then all of a sudden it just switched. I'm like,
I get all that. I've seen this play out too many times where we give government power. And, you know, now you got power to shut down a website or force a sale, and that ends badly. It's kind of like a report came out today, you know, how giving all this extra money to the IRS is going to result in going after billionaires. Like 70% of the audits have been done on people that made less than $200,000 a year. It's like, why do people keep falling for this stupid stuff? Where
it's like, know, the Republicans passed that anti-Semitism bill.
Right.
That was the biggest piece of crap you could ever put out there.
That it's going to end horribly. Like, do not let that become a law. It's going to be used in ways you can't even imagine.
But think about why they did it. They did it in a way because they think that they're Democrats to a certain point. The anti-Semitism law bill plays on the name itself.
That's it.
Right.
That's it.
And all they did, that was in the drawer. All they did was wait for a crisis.
That's it. Yep. That's all.
And they use that for cover to pass this thing that's going to outlaw Christianity.
Did y'all hear about the pastor's wife in South Carolina?
Oh, yeah, that's a wild story.
That is a wild story, isn't it? I mean, it's not funny. Pastor got up in front of his service on Sunday and said, "My wife committed suicide. Don't nobody talk about it. Let's move on."
At the end of his sermon.
Yep.
I was like, what?
And didn't she like shoot herself in the head like three times or something?
Well, guess what? Now the medical examiner investigating the death of a South Carolina pastor wife found that she died of self-inflicted gunshot wound, echoing what her husband said happened. Mika Miller, 30, from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, was found dead on April 27th with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head at Lumber State Park, according to the police report. But here's the thing. Do it. I don't think you'll do it. Do it. And I'm going to marry such and such and such. Do it. You know, don't nobody talk about it. We're going to have children's choir on Saturday. And
I'm looking for a date.
Man, it's a crazy stuff. Hamas agrees to a ceasefire, huh?
Yeah, the CIA went down there. You didn't catch that? They went down there and gave them terms. It probably turns our back totally on Israel, I'm sure.
Yeah, but then Israel turned around and
shipping arms to Israel. Joe Biden blocked that. Yeah, but did Hamas accept it? I heard they were still in the process.
Right after the CIA guy came, they accepted it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. The director went there.
I like how they changed the language too. They like numbered down the number of hostages they were going to give back, and then they said hostages or bodies.
Yeah, because the Israelis are going to get one of the two.
Right.
And, you know, they, by the way, the Israeli says, "Nah, screw you guys, man. Attack."
I know. ceasefire. Fire. Speaking of hostages, funny how Russia is always finding an American soldier for some reason.
Oh, they're in the same base.
Journalists, huh?
They're in the same base.
Yeah, I know, right.
In Niger. Right. It's totally unbelievable. I can't believe that. I mean, I'm thinking, can you imagine being one of those American soldiers?
Well, I told you when we were going over to Saudi Arabia, we stopped off in Ireland.
That's a long walk from the plane to that place, ain't it?
Exactly. So you've been there. We pulled up right beside a plane. Now, look, I grew up watching CCCP. Enemy, Russia, enemy. Right. The plane is pulling right up beside the CCCP, and you're looking at the thing. We got all these Air Force people on the bridge. Are we getting into a fight or something? I mean, that's Russia over there. We get off the plane. They're, like Hutch said, It's a long walk down to the middle of the. I mean, it's like a bar. It's like a bar that's inside the
airport. Has Irish coffee and everything.
Man, the darkest coffee you have ever seen. Well, actually, darkest beer too. I mean, whatever. It's like that's Russian dinner, and then we're all sitting down together. Just like was somebody's there's
tables, lying. There's tables and stuff everywhere.
It's like somebody's lying, man. I mean,
hey, when I went to Iraq, before we went to Iraq, we had to go to Kuwait, and we had a final live fire exercise with all our personal weapons before we went over the border. Mm-hmm. And we were on a range, and right next to us was another range, and the freaking Georgians were in that one from the country of Georgia, the Russians. Right? Yeah. It was like, they had AKs and stuff. I'm like, they got live AKs right next to me.
Yep. Yeah. That, yeah, man. That,
and they look just like us.
And then on top of that, Jay, it was like, we saw a Russian beside us drinking. And then we flew to Saudi Arabia, and then we're seeing men holding other men's hands in dresses walking up and down the street. Something that I hadn't even seen this in the United States of America. And we're seeing there are no women. It's just guys holding hands, looking at us like we're crazy, but they holding hands.
Then about 5 in the morning, Allah, Akbar.
Man, I was sitting to hear this thing on a loudspeaker. Everybody in the house was asleep. I got up. I went out the back door. Tell you the truth, though, I miss that. I do. I miss that. Not only because I was getting hazard pay, but I miss that. I really do.
You could always move to Michigan.
Right. No. You can go to the UK.
The UIK.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty much part of the. Actually, we shouldn't joke about that. That stuff in the UK is horrifying.
It's coming here, too. It's already in Minnesota. Yeah. You better hope those Somalians don't get a hold of any grenades. That's the freaking weapon of choice in Sweden.
Yep.
Of the Somali gangs.
Actually, it's kind of wild. I live north of the Twin Cities in a pretty red area, and they were trying to build a mosque and like 500 housing units out in the country north of the Twin Cities. And I'm like, oh man, like I don't need little Somalia out where we live.
That's how they do it.
Yep. Well, yeah, and it
take
and
over it's your like, city council first.
Right. Yeah. They're working on the city council, and then yep. This townhouse association is only for Muslims.
Right.
And it's like,
and the destruction of our church, our right. frontline church, the desecration of it, all they do is go buy an abandoned church and chop the cross off.
Yeah.
And take the sanctuary out, the altar.
And put a dome on top.
Yep.
I could not believe seeing that in downtown Baltimore. Not only did they do all those things that Hutt said, but they put up like steel gates in front of it. So that, you know, that's their
military security. Headquarters.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to check, if you know where that place is, go there about 11:30, 12 noon and on a Friday and watch the infantry battalion come walking out when the service is over. They're all the same age. They're all military age males.
Yeah.
And a couple females to make lunch or whatever.
Chicken pot pies.
Right people really don't know what they're supporting when they support the air.
No idea. No. Neither do women.
Well, that's what I mean. The women are the women's rights. Like they bitch about everything. And, you except know, we'll make a joke about making a sandwich. Hey, go make me a sandwich. And they'll get offended. And it's like, joking. Y'all are supporting these people that want you to have to cover your face and having no rights.
I ain't joking.
My wife,
that woman go make me a sandwich. Oh my God. Fetch me a beer.
Find you a woman that likes making you a sandwich. You'll be a happy man.
Yeah, that's right. Make me a scrapple sandwich. Okay, scrapple.
I had a traumatic experience with scrapple.
Really?
My aunt had a can of it. And I grabbed a can and started reading the ingredients. Bad move.
Yeah, don't.
Bad move.
You got to fry it, man. Don't look at it.
I've eaten it. I like it. I've eaten it.
Yeah.
I lived in scrapple country, central Pennsylvania. Man. I like it, but I don't read the ingredients. Don't read the ingredients.
Yeah, yeah. Don't.
Hog snout, hog jowls, hog this, hog that. Like, damn.
Go to the Hormel meat processing plant.
No.
Their newsletter is the Oink. And the joke is their company newsletter is called the Oink because they use every part of the pig but the Oink. So they have to use the Oink.
You know what? I've been binge watching Survivor for the last few weeks. Cause I haven't watched it in years. So you know, I'm watching and they had one of those eating challenges and they lift up the thing. And what was on the plate was a snout. I was like, you have got to be kidding me, man. The snout, the pig nose, I mean, that thing. And he started eating it like, oh my God.
I couldn't do that.
And then they had dessert for him. And the guy was like, he asked the host, he was like, this isn't doo-doo cake, is it? He was like, what do you mean? He was like, this is a reality show. Y'all be putting stuff in stuff. This ain't doo-doo cake. No. But it turned out to be something else, but it wasn't that. But we got to go. I think we'll leave that out because it's lunchtime for y'all. We hope that y'all understood everything we were talking about today. We kind of talked about a few things. And I think I need to reiterate for the current 6,000 people that are watching right now.
Plus Rumble. For
minus Rumble and minus
Getter,
because those aren't tabulated in the and minus Instagram too, because Instagram isn't being counted for this, and minus Cozy and minus Cloud Hub. So those numbers aren't counted here, but a lot of try to be a little bit different than regular podcasts, because regular podcasts, they'll keep you on there for about 2 to 3 hours and talk about the same thing, and they try to anger you and piss you off, knowing that they want you to go out in the heat of the battle, but they ain't gonna do shit. They ain't doing nothing. They want you to be mad. But meanwhile, they ain't doing nothing. You know, we want you to understand the things that are coming up and the things that are happening right now. And what's possibly going to come up too. You know, so we hope that you enjoy our realism, because this isn't scripted. You're seeing real Americans, real patriots talk about real stuff, giving real opinions. And you might notice, hey, guess what? J-Rob says something, but Hutch don't agree. But Hutch says something, we don't agree. We don't always agree on everything. But you see this ship? This ship goes in the same direction. So, I mean, and we're all on it. We're all captains of the ship. Tell you the truth. We're all captains of the ship. Split Rock says, when we butchered pigs, we ate everything except the squeal. Oh, you ain't eat the pig lips.
That's some scrapple.
Right.
Is it really? Pig lips is in scrapple?
Everything that's left over is in scrapple.
Yeah, all the odds and ends.
It's kind of why it got its name, I think.
Yeah. Right. The pig butthole, it's in there, Wayne.
Why did you do that?
I'm sure they washed it. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Okay. You know what? I saw a video. I saw a video of it was a cow, a sow. Was it sow? Yeah. You know what? I ain't even gonna go in. Yeah, yeah.
We'll start tomorrow breaking down meat products.
Not with that one. okay. But the way they cleaned it, I was like, you don't eat that? Thank you for tuning in. We got J-Rob with his last thoughts. We got Hutch Bailey Jr. with his last thoughts. And then we're getting ready to roll out of here.
All right. Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Great show as always, Wayne Hutch. Loads of fun. Here's my last thought of the day. We talked earlier about Eisenhower, and you zoom back out and you just see how this stuff lands. Today, you're seeing the epitome of what they wanted to accomplish on the Trump trial. They wanted Stormy Daniels on the stand talking about all the graphic details of the alleged affair. And that's the point. That's what they're going to be talking about. Those are the ads they're going to be running. This is what lawfare looks like. The criminal charges, this is an accounting case. This has nothing to do with did he have sex with her or not? Did he wear a condom or not? All those are immaterial facts of this case. This is why they're doing it. And be smart enough to understand that. Over to you, Hutch.
They're defunding the police in Portland, Oregon. Let 10 million cop cars burn. Radical pro-Hamas terror group Rachel Corrie's Ghost Brigade admits to torching 15 Portland police cars in a preemptive attack. Have a great day.
Portland. I'm surprised that it still has that name, Portland. After them going up there and trying to change everything and stuff like that. I used to always want to live in the state of Washington for some reason. I just like the greenery up there from what I've been taught. I don't want to go there now. I don't
want to go there. Too much.
Yeah, but they got too many Antifa people up there. That's almost like their state.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
All those states up in that area.
They're caliphate. The Antifa caliphate. All right, got to go. Y'all have a great evening.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.